Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast, rolling along with Seth Payne. And ESPN.com, they had their team of NFL writers for each of the 32 NFL teams, that is, do an evaluation of the surprise trends for each of their teams. So are these surprise trends just 2 weeks in, just two games into the season, are they real or not for these respective teams? So I thought it would be good to kind of just go ahead and scroll down to the Texans and see what is the surprise trend that my guy DJ Bienemy over at ESPN.com has identified for the Texans. I also wanted to look a little bit around the AFC South as well. So yeah. I figured we can do that here on the show. If I were to, before we do this, or before I introduce to the audience what DJ Bienemy's surprise trend is for the Texans, what would have been yours if you had been assigned this story, this task, and ESPN says, or Sports Radio 610 says, hey, do your surprise trend of the Texans so far, two games in, what would it have been for you?
For me, going in, just, you know, I had various concerns about the team, you know, 2 weeks ago. I didn't think the run defense would be as bad as it was versus the Bucs. I mean, that was really disappointing in a lot of ways. It was the manner in which the Bucs just, at times, manhandled the Texans' defensive line. At other times, it was just guys on the defense making poor reads, not recognizing plays, all of those things. I didn't expect it to be like that. And there were times last year where the Texans struggled in the run, but they, by and large, over the course of the season, they were a really good run defense. It was bad. Like, that was awful. And that's, this week, they're going up against a Jaguars team that's been running the ball very, very well with their new coach, Liam Cohen. That's a strength of the Jaguars versus, as of right now, I look at it as a weakness for the Texans, because the Rams game, the Texans loaded the box. Like, they just very much focused on stopping the run, and they got victimized by play action because of it. So when they have to just line up and stop the run with their front seven, I don't trust them right now unless they fix a few things.
Yeah, I think you give kind of a more holistic view of the run defense. I was just going to key in specific. Like, my surprise would have been specifically that the interior defensive lineman. Like, I was one of the guys, Seth, that was, I think, defending the no-nameness of the interior D. I was like,
right,
you know what?
Right, yeah.
I actually, because I'd already done this thing before in previous years where I'm like, I don't know if they've got it on the interior defensive line. And those guys, to their credit, have played well throughout the last couple of years. And I thought what they did in the offseason was important. What they did was brought back Sheldon Rankins, mm-hmm. who I think was the best interior defensive lineman of the last 2 years that they've had, okay? Sheldon Rankins. And then Mario Edwards was a free agent. They brought him back. I thought he was close to, you know, somewhere around right after Sheldon Rankin. So I thought they brought their two best interior defensive linemen, their two best defensive tackles back, both free agents, brought them back this year, and then kept guys like Foley Fadakasi, who's their biggest yeah. interior defensive lineman. And even he was getting moved around the other night. And so I am most surprised by that, because I was probably one of their biggest advocates, despite them not having like a stud defensive tackle. I thought they had the right collection of guys, and it just hasn't looked like this so far.
Right, no, because you can't have studs at every single position.
Right.
So you gotta just acknowledge, okay, you don't have 11 all pros out there. No good defense does. And last year it was good enough that they ended up, by and large, being a pretty good run defense without having a stud defensive tackle. It just, because it was a defensive ends in that game too. That was, that the defensive ends were unaware a lot of times. Just they're from pullers and wham blocks and everything, they were unaware, and that was a surprise to me. I think that'll get cleaned up just with good coaching, and they've shown that they can do it before. But there's a lot of, you know, that Sean and I have been ranting about it all week. I think the Texans defense has been a little overly eager, you know, and they've been playing. They've every guy you can look at and say, man, there's just too many plays where guys are trying to do too much instead of just playing their role. Like, you got to just remember, first and foremost, your job in a really good defense is to do your job.
Yeah.
And guys have been playing a little too far out of scheme.
Yeah, I was going to say, I lost track of how many times I watched a guy over pursue the other night. Like, I kind of just shrug my shoulders
and that's you know what I'll, you know where you get that when you coach that what you're really doing when you do that is you're saying you don't trust your teammates. You hit them with the guilt trip. You're like, oh, you don't trust your teammates to do their job. How come? Oh, you think you got to do the job of two people?
What you saying?
Like, because that's really what
you're saying
down
about us.
When you start playing outside of your role and responsibility, you're basically saying that, like, well, I'm the one that's got to get it done here, and then you end up screwing everybody. So quit being so selfish, damn it.
So I was surprised by what DJ Bieniemy was surprised by in his little blurb here on ESPN.com in evaluating the early trends and trying to figure out if they're real or fake. Okay, so you're identifying an early trend and trying to establish whether it is real or fake. Because obviously this early on, it could be smoke and mirrors. It could be just kind of a blip. You know, so you're trying to identify it and then say, is this real or fake? From DJ Bieniemy at ESPN.com, his early surprise was actually C.J. Stroud's high pressure rate. So here's what he says. He says the verdict on this is that's a real concern, this trend that we're seeing in C.J. Stroud's high pressure rate, which
it would be a surprise if it was awesome to me. It was the opposite.
I hadn't talked to DJ about this, but I'm like, man, had you sold yourself on this being the 90s Cowboys offensive line?
Because I've been saying all offseason that I think they can get to mediocre. If they could get to average as an offensive line or in pass protection, there's a lot of things that CJ in the skill positions can do to elevate the offense above that. But I didn't expect them to be like, hey, look at this. This is one of the best pass protecting groups in the league.
Yeah. Well, so they do have, you know, they got those fancy numbers over there at ESPN. So he calls this trend, he says that the verdict on this trend is real, the high pressure rate, and that Stroud's line, talking about the Texans offensive line, has the 9th worst pass block win rate, according to ESPN analytics and NFL Next Gen stats. And that's not a mirage. This is DJ Bieniemy saying this.
Yeah.
It's a full malfunction from the play calling to getting pass catchers open down the field to the pass protection plan to the Texans offensive line struggling to block and sometimes Stroud holding the ball. The Texans season will flop if they don't get this fixed, especially with better AFC opponents coming down the pike like Kansas City, Baltimore first. But Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, that triage of AFC heavyweights.
When it comes to CJ's responsibility for it, this is where I'm really hoping that some of this is just ironing out the wrinkles in a new offense and also getting Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios back. So when he holds the ball too long, at times it looks like he's staying on his reads too long. Like he's waiting for Woody Marks or Dalton Schultz to come open or to see how it works out when meanwhile Nico Collins is running open across the middle.
Yeah.
And that's the part that surprised me of all of those things. So I'm not putting it all on CJ. I'm just a little bit surprised that we're seeing that where he just feels like he's methodical in his read. And then that ends up putting more pressure on the offensive line. Or if you're a little late coming off that first read, then yeah, that pressure is going to affect you that much more because now you're not in a great as a pass rusher's coming free, you're not in a great position to plant your feet and throw it to Nico later in the down. But it's that's where it's everything. It's the pass protection itself. It's the protections that are called at times. It's anticipating blitzes either by the line or the quarterback. Everything's just a little bit off kilter right now. If you look at those that pass protection win rate, so for the team, Texans are 24th in pass protection win rate, pass block win rate. They're 27th and run block win rate. Oof. That's the one that, for a team that wanted to be physical and establish a run, that one actually concerns me more than anything else. Because my thought was, all right, if you guys can really commit to being good run blockers and physical and run the ball well, that turns you into better pass protectors. Like, it makes your job easier if you can consistently run the ball, because you're in better down and distance, you're setting up the play action, you're doing all those things. That's concerning to me, because that's the chicken before the egg for me.
Yeah.
And then on defense, the run stop win rate, 24th, as we discussed. The one thing the Texans are really, really good at right now is rushing the passer. They're still first. They're first in pass rush win rate,
which is the least surprising thing about this team, right?
And that's the
combination of guys they got.
Yeah, and I think that's where the turnovers are going to come to on defense. That's the one big element that just it feeds everybody else. You get a good pass rush, you get more interceptions by forced bad throws. You get more strip sacks, you get all those things, and it just that is going to come at some point here. They're going to have a four takeaway game. I hope it's this week, but it's the elements are there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. See, I don't really know if I love living in that space.
Want to have to rely on that.
Yeah, for that to be your one redeeming quality.
Yeah.
I don't really want to live. Obviously, I want a good pass rush. Yeah. Like, I'm not.
Well, they were plus one in the turnover margin on Monday night. You know, it's not enough.
You really just broke that down well, because there's essentially two things that you're trying to accomplish with your front, right? On the offensive side, you're trying to get push so you can run the ball, and then you're bagging up to protect so you can protect your guys. So those are two things on the offensive side. On the other end, you're trying to stop the run, and you're trying to rush the passer. So that's four things we're talking about. They're good at one of them.
One thing, and you don't get as many opportunities to rush the passer if you don't stop the run.
If you don't stop the run, and then also on top of that, if this is the read on you, if this is the scouting report on you, then a savvy offensive coordinator, an experienced quarterback, even one like Trevor Lawrence, who I know we have a pretty good time making fun of Trevor Lawrence, but he does get the ball out quick.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are certain guys and certain guys with experience and just a certain level of aptitude can look at it and say, well, you know what? The way to beat this defense is, oh, they got a good pass rush. That means we got to get the ball out quick. Oh, they don't really have a slot corner. We can exploit that. So there's two things we can do. Everything else, we have a pretty good chance of being better than them at that. We have a better chance at our defensive linemen being bigger badasses than their offensive linemen when it comes to push, you know, so, and then vice versa. So, like, I'm encouraged by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, like, being on the team and their overall, like, pass rushing prowess. But to live in the space of this is the only and the one and only thing that you really do well, your calling card, that makes it easy to identify, and it's just not enough.
It takes you back to when those Colts teams were a really good pass rushing defense. But they couldn't stop the run. They weren't physical. And that's when, the Peyton Manning couldn't win a Super Bowl. They finally, whenever they figured out how to be a more physical defense, it was more than just pass rushers. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you've got a complete team. Yeah. So it's like, and you don't have to be the best run defense in the league. You just can't be getting gashed the way they were against Tampa.
Yeah. And I know we talked a lot about the run defense, but real quick to go back to the run game, like the offensive side, because you mentioned this earlier too, not being sure. If they have a legitimate starting running back.
Yeah.
This is part of the cool. I talked about drinking too much of the Kool-Aid. This has kind of been my running joke now every week. It's like, what does the Kool-Aid taste like this week? And so far, not good, not sweet. So part of the Kool-Aid that I drank too much of, though, was, oh, you know what? I didn't give Nick Chubb enough credit because, you know, I'm not a football player, so I'm out there watching practice, and I'm like, oh, he doesn't look explosive.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he looks like an old running back. And then they go out there against the Panthers in preseason, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is why they – you know, this is why they put on pads, why they play.
He didn't look like peak Nick Chubb. He looked like a guy who could be really, really functional as long as he has good blocking in front of him.
And so it looked better.
Yeah.
Now it's just, I'm back to being underwhelmed the way that I was in training camp and at some of those practices and preseason games where I thought, oh, man, I don't know that without Joe Mixon, like what you said earlier, I don't know if they have a starting caliber running back.
I think Nick Chubb is starting caliber as long as the blocking is good.
Right.
That's the thing. I think they can churn out yardage, but there's got to be like that little recipe. Because Joe Mixon did everything on his own last year.
Yeah, you can't ask Nick Chubb, and I've been saying this.
Right.
Nick Chubb to beat Joe Mixon of last year.
No, he's not going to have those kinds of runs that Joe Mixon had last year. Like, at least right now, physically, he's just not built that same way anymore. He doesn't have that same pop and explosion. So, by the way, it's looking more and more like Tampa let him score.
They're being coy about it in their media.
They're being very coy about it, I think the general consensus in Tampa right now is that there must have been some kind of rule where basically if you don't stuff them here, let them score. That, all right, it's either because they were in that down where they were at that point on the field. It was like, you got to stop them. If you let the Texans get a first down, then we really don't have much chance of winning this game, which again lends it to like, all right, should they have had the foresight to say, look, Nick, don't score. You get the first down and then slide.
I saw people online that were mad about him scoring.
Yeah,
I wasn't, to be clear.
It was a really finicky moment, like time in the game, like right around at 2 minutes with both teams with Tampa still having all their timeouts. That I think you could, depending on which computer you're using, I think you could argue either way whether it was smart or not.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the Texans ended up, they stopped the Bucs.
Yeah.
They had them on 4th and 10. All they had to do was just stop them on 4th and 10. We're not having this conversation.
4th and 10. And then they
score. And then Bulls would be getting crushed right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe you let them score.
Hold up. My memory's foggy. 4th and 10, and they get it on a scramble?
Yeah.
Henry
Toto.
That's when he whiffed on Baker Mayfield. Yeah. So, like, and out of all ways to convert on a 4th and 10, like, especially when it seems like you got them dead to rights, like, that is, I'm going to be honest with you, Seth, I feel a little duped, this whole did they let them score thing.
Yeah.
I honestly had not considered it until the next morning when you came in here I was in there with Ben.
Yeah.
You're in here with Sean, and you're like, did they let them score? And I'm like, well, crap, Seth, do you know how hard we were celebrating? So, that's the opposite end zone of our Odyssey suite.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it. We're like celebrating. Man, this is awesome. This is great. We thought it was the coolest thing.
After being unable to run the entire night, it felt really silly. So easy.
Yeah.
And but I had my doubts because I'm watching. It looked like the defensive line and linebackers were playing it honest.
But
once it got to the second level, there was a whole lot of non-full. Like, think about in that moment. And you got guys like Antoine Winfield or whomever else just kind of
Tristan McCollum. Those guys, Tristan McCollum's a 4-3 safety.
Yeah.
Or, 4-3 defensive back. Like,
those guys are the guys that, and like, that's the kind of situation where you might end up risk hitting them 1 yard into the end zone just because it's such a crucial situation if you're trying to stop them.
Nick Chubb, much harder to bring down between the tackles than once he gets out.
Yeah.
You know, once he's out in space. So
I got to tip my cap to Todd Bowles, though.
I was going to say, what do you? Because to me, that gutsy, risky, those are the words I would describe.
Yeah.
I don't know about smart, dumb. I'm not in that. I don't know.
The tough thing, I'm always curious about just how you coach it in the moment, because it's, you know, like, that's, it's one thing to say, let them score. It's another to be like, all right, we got to get a stop here so we have time after the field goal. So try to get the stop, but midway through the play, make the judgment call to just let him in. And it almost blew up in his face. But it was a gutsy call.
It's gutsy, but also it's a bit of a gut punch if you're a Texans fan that's going into the season talking about having a championship caliber defense, one of the better defenses in the league, and you've got a team that is inviting you. you know, inviting your defense to basically win the game against them, right? Yeah. Like saying, you know what, we're going to let you score. Not only that, we're going to let you score and we're going to go down and do our thing. Like we're going to, we know, and there's enough evidence that is, that's brought us here from us running the ball down your throat, from us moving your defensive tackles at will. The way your guys have been playing the run is embarrassing. We're going to go down there and make this happen. Yeah. Like to me, that's the gut punch of it. To me, it's like, hey, a championship caliber defense, you're not signing up to end the game against them, to for the game to come down to, can we score against this championship caliber defense? That's not the way that should work.
Right. No, and that's, and it was a long drive. Like that was a very, and the Bucs hadn't scored, you know, since what, the second quarter at that point. It wasn't, it, but it just, there's a lot about the scoreboard in these first two games that hasn't told the story of the defense. Like the defense has just had some issues.
That's a great way to put it.
They haven't, the sustained drives, the, you know, by the time, this is the other big part of it. By the time the defense gets back out on the field, they'd played a lot of football already. And you could see that Daniil and Will were tired at moments in their pass rush during that drive. They ended up having 80 snaps on defense. That's a lot for a defense. And it's not just because the offense wasn't sustaining drives themselves. It was that the Texans had just been allowing the Bucs to move downfield steadily, drive after drive, running the ball. And those guys were taxed. So it's a lot more likely that the Bucs are going to be able to score in that situation at the end of the game than if they had been just, if they'd played cleaner football the rest of the time.
Yeah, the feeling that the box score and final score give a little bit of smoke and mirrors, or like it's blowing up a little smoke, is like it didn't feel as close as the final score suggested for a lot of the reasons, and really all the reasons that you just laid out.
It's well, you take the part of it too is because look, you had the Jalen Noel return, great, good job. Yeah. You got a field goal out of that. You got you advanced 0 yards and got a field goal out of it.
Yeah.
So that didn't feel good. And before that, you had the blocked punt.
Yeah.
You know, like so the defense was helped out in some regards with field positioning. By the block, they got him into the position where they had to punt and everything.
Fair enough.
But as far as the actual competitiveness of the game, the special teams had a huge effect on making it what it was. So like you don't necessarily see the blemishes of the defense or the offense even as glaringly.
All right, so this brings me into the surprise trend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our discussion about the Texans defense and their difficulty stopping the run against Tampa Bay on Monday night brings us to Jacksonville, who they travel to face on Sunday. Here's their surprise trend from their ESPN writer, Michael DeRocco. Hope I'm saying that correctly.
DeRocco.
Yeah. My apologies to Michael DeRocco. But he says, the early surprise for Jacksonville is that the Jaguars lead the NFL in rushing.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Well, great. I mean, are you serious? Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Leads the NFL in rushing?
You got to get it right, man. You better get it right this week,
are
Texans.
Are you freaking serious?
Yes, they do.
Bro, like that's
first
not
we ground them and then we pound them. That's what Trevor Lawrence said.
Not a good feeling at all.
Apparently
that's true.
Yeah. Their offensive line has been playing really well. So it is like strength versus strength is that the Jaguars offensive line has been playing well in the run game. ETN's looked good, but also that they've been pass protecting real well too. So the strength of the team so far for the Texans has been the pass rush. The pass rush has still been steady, because even in the Rams game where it didn't feel like it, like Matt Stafford had to get rid of the ball really quickly in that game because the pass rush was good. So it really comes down to on defense. Yeah, you got to hem these run defense issues up, and then you just got to make sure that force Trevor Lawrence into enough stupid decisions and errant throws as he's known to do. You know, it's very winnable. But you got to get that run defense and some of the sloppiness that we saw on Monday night. You got to get that fixed in a short week.
Yeah, it, really rough. And then the
is it Thursday.
It's already Thursday. That's what the Monday night game and the reaction Monday becoming reaction Tuesday. That's what it does. It throws your week off schedule quite a bit. But you know, thinking about the Jaguars and the Liam Cohen ad made me think about. Literally this Tampa game, like Tampa, Liam Cohen's the one that took Tampa Bay's run game from last in the NFL 2 years ago. So the Tampa Bay Bucs that the Texans beat in the last minute of the game, yeah, drive 2 years ago, not a great run operation at the time. Brought them up to fourth in the NFL last year. So helped them improve their run game. Seems to be trending toward helping the Jaguars improve their run game. Now, obviously, there's some personnel things that have to do with that as well. But there is this expectation, and this is what DeRocco. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I keep wanting to say
that's
DeRocco.
All right. He doesn't listen.
This is what DeRocco was kind of getting at.
Is that Ben? Oh, we got DeRocco on the line.
Uh-oh. DeRocco's like, yeah, how dare you screw up my name? Who's that fill-in guy that doesn't know Mike DeRocco when he hears him? But, yeah, there's this expectation that Liam Cohen is a bit of a run game fixer. You know,
he's a bit of an offense fixer in general.
Or an offense fixer.
I mean, he took Tampa from one of the worst to one of the best in a lot of ways last year. Yeah. And I think Cohen, as goofy as he was in his initial press conference, I think Sean brought this. Yeah. Like Sean brought this up earlier. He's like, oh, there's a chance Liam Cohen he's another Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
He's another, any of the Nick Sirianni, any of these guys that have laughable moments in their opening press conferences. And I always caution Sean against this. He never listens. I watched Liam Cohen's whole press conference, other than the just, what has it been? Than that moment. And I actually was pretty impressed with him. I honestly, the thing I'm most impressed with him about, because he's got just kind of this dopey, Opie Griffith kind of look to him.
He does.
I mean, like, he's not messing around. He's coaching Trevor Lawrence hard. During the game, they had that little shot of him, because Trevor Lawrence had thrown airmailed it to the sideline on a play down in the red zone, and Liam Cohen is motioning at Trevor Lawrence, hitting his chest, saying, hit him in the chest, hit him in the chest. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence waved him off. And then a couple plays later, Trevor Lawrence does hit Brian Thomas Jr. right in the hands, in front of his chest, right down on the 1 yard line or so, in a play that could have won the game, going forward on fourth down. It was a gutsy move by Liam Cohen. They could have just kicked the field goal there. They were going for the emphatic win by going for the touchdown. And it didn't work out because Brian Thomas Jr. apparently is scared of football anymore. But like, Liam Cohen is like coaching these guys hard. And he's asking Brian Thomas Jr. to put his body in harm's way more than they did last year. Yeah. Like they're not just running him on a bunch of go routes and stuff on the outside. They're having him go over the middle and everything. So like Liam Cohen's, and then he's also improved their run game. So it's not everything that you would want to see if you can get the best out of Trevor Lawrence. It looks like they're doing that. Trevor Lawrence still has to prove that he's the guy, but they're putting things in place, I think, in a much better way than Trevor Lawrence has had before.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Credit where it's due,
yeah,
because it looks like the third time might be the charm. And look, as an organization, they can't afford to get this Trevor Lawrence thing any more wrong than they already have, right? Like this is basically a really big year for them and kind of turning that corner with Trevor Lawrence. It seems like they might have got the right guy to do it with Liam Cohen.
The fun thing about this week is really going to be the fact that in Jacksonville, they just hate Azeez Alshire.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and this is...
Well, he did almost decapitate their quarterback.
All right. I know he shouldn't have been in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, slide earlier, you know?
Yeah, what's your head doing right there anyway?
Yeah, yeah. What are you even doing hanging out with that guy? Well, yeah. So, this is the thing. I'm nervous about this just because I think look, the Texans are going to rally around Azeez Alshire, and they're going to love it. Like, there's nothing better than getting booed in an away stadium. It's awesome. It's invigorating. But this is a defense that I've been worried about all week, saying, these guys got to dial back the psycho a little bit.
I don't think we have it, but did you see what Azeez said yesterday?
He had said that basically what I think he was listening to our show. He said, you got it. Landry has the – I think he was talking to Landry.
Yeah, he's like, well, all I saw was I'm going to hit him as hard as I can or something to that effect. Like, he's –
Oh, that's – oh, I didn't see that one. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot out there.
Because he also said – he said something he said the swarm mentality is great, but if you don't balance that mentality with fundamentals and calming down in certain situations, then it can backfire. It says it's about balance. That's what Landry tweeted.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And that's where – like, that's what I've been advocating, is that you just can't be – beyond high school, you can't be at 10 on the psychometer. You can get away with it in high school. After high school, you got to learn how to dial it back a little bit. You can get away with being an 8 or 9 in college. In the NFL, you got to be at a 7, and then, you know, tweak it for your individual preferences. But if you're wildly out of control and just super aggressive all the time, that's when you make technique errors. That's when you make mental errors. That's when you blow your assignments. And that's what the Texans have looked like on defense the last couple weeks. They've just looked like they just got to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I worry that, in a stadium where everybody thinks Azeez Alshire is the worst guy who ever lived and all that, that I trust they're going to rally around that as a motivator, and yet that might be their own worst enemy, that they go out and continue to play a little too psycho.
I'm trying to figure out I do wonder what weird thing is going to happen at Jackson, because think about it. 2 years ago, first year of the D'Amico, Ryans, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson era, what happened in Jacksonville? It was their first win of the season, if I'm remembering correctly. And you got that Andrew Beck return. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Beck, I believe, returned a kickoff. Your fullback returned a kickoff for a touchdown. And then, of course, last year, like you mentioned, you had the Azeez thing. Seems like this new iteration of the rivalry, something strange, something odd is going to go down. Both years it's been, you know, I think 1 year you would say in the Texans' favor. Last year, depending on how you look at it, you might look at that as in the Jaguars' favor to get Azeez thrown out the game and suspended. But I just wonder what weird thing is going to happen out there in Jacksonville this time when it feels like the tables are turned a little bit.
Just,
it feels like in the moment Jacksonville's on the ascension and that the Texans are trying to figure it out.
I think that as far as it comes to Azeez Alshire, just the sum total of everything you needed to know about that hit last year was that Trevor Lawrence was just trying to extend the play too long. Go watch an actual championship quarterback in Jalen Hurts and watch him. Like, that Jalen Hurts is smart as hell when he runs.
Yeah.
He'll slide 3 yards shy of the first down marker, feet first, because he knows that the most selfish thing he could do right there is just get himself injured by trying to slide at the last moment to get a first down.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence was trying to extend that slide out to where he could get a first down. And that's like, when you're a quarterback, it's your responsibility to slide before anybody can hit you like that if you're going to go feet first.
Hey, and not just, look, these quarterbacks need to be careful, man, because he's trying to extend that play. And then how about the season opener between the Chiefs and the Chargers?
Yeah.
Where Patrick Mahomes lays out the defensive back, and they're basically at the sideline by that point.
Like, they're trying to hold up to try to see.
He knew that he's not allowed to decapitate Patrick Mahomes near the sideline, kind of let up on him, and then Patrick Mahomes gave him the business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, look, I get it's a physical game and all that. You're trying to set the tone, but let's not act like these guys don't have the power to really take you out if they
try. My dream is that NFL defensive players are going to get together and collude to make one day a hit the quarterback no matter what day. Like week 7 or something, be like, all right, that's it. We've had enough. No matter what happens, no matter how much it harms our individual team, for the collective good of the sport in America, we're going to hit the quarterback no matter what.
Yeah.
If he's sliding, if he's going towards the sideline or whatever, put them on alert. That, no, you need to get yourself out of harm's way, and if you don't, you're a football player, okay?
Right. Well,
none of this double standard nonsense.
I mean, I thought that's how it was supposed to work, you know, many, many moons ago.
Well, Mahomes last year in the playoff game, running back, could have run out of bounds, runs back into danger, and runs towards two guys, slides feet first at the last moment and the Texans get a flag for it. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's got to end for the good of America.
Yeah.
For the good of mankind and for all that's decent and wholesome and good, hit the quarterbacks no matter what, even if it's illegal. And obviously illegal.
Well, and especially if they're going to exploit the laws.
Yes. If it's beyond the line of scrimmage, that's what I'll say. Like, not in the pocket.
Right.
I'm not
right,
a monster.
Right. Yeah,
but running, if a quarterback's running past the line of scrimmage, stop. Don't even let it enter your brain. Everybody do it week 7.
I am.
Oh, wait, no. The Texans are playing. Do it week six.
Yeah.
Do it week 6 during the Texans bye week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to run a PSYOP on this. I'm basically start tweeting out, like, I've heard word that this is what's going down in week 6. And, word on the street is that everybody's agreed to ignore all late hit worry after the quarterbacks, after the line, beyond the line of scrimmage. And it just so happened that the Texans have a bye week.
We got
to
start that Substack in time to build the momentum so people can be anticipating. Yeah. These nuggets.
I'll be creating fake accounts during the break. Yeah.
One thing about these early surprise trends that's got me in my feels a little bit is that the surprise trend for the Texans is a negative one that I prefer not be the case. And then the ones for two of the division opponents, one of them they're about to play this weekend, the Jags we just mentioned, leading the NFL in rushing. Oh my God, the Colts.
It's awesome, man. The AFC South means something.
Have they punted yet? Have the Colts punted?
No, they have not punted yet.
I don't think they've punted yet.
They're anti-punting.
So the Colts have one of the Colts have one of the NFL's most potent offenses. Mm. That's Stephen Holder's observation of their early surprise trend. So you got one team in the Jaguars with – So the Jags have the leading rushing attack in the NFL 2 weeks in. The other one has just the overall, one of the league's overall most potent offenses, doesn't even believe in punting these days.
Yeah.
Just not a good feeling.
You know what?
Not a good feeling. Hope these trends reverse pretty soon.
You know, okay, so the Colts play the Titans this week. And you know what Zaire Franklin, the podcasting linebacker, said? Yes. Did you see this?
I've not seen it, but I like that you call him the podcasting linebacker.
He said... Somebody asked him about Cam Ward's throw back across the field.
Yeah.
That really, I think most people listening probably saw highlights of that Cam Ward touchdown throw. This is a pretty incredible display. Zaire Franklin said it actually wasn't a good throw. Like, basically, I think the point he was making was it was a, you know, poor judgment throw, shouldn't have made it or something. He said, I hope he tries it again this week.
Oh, man.
Dude, Zaire Franklin, last year, midway through the season, when things were really the Colts defense, especially at the beginning of the season, was just atrocious. He kind of dialed everything back and said, "Yeah, we get it. We gotta get back to basics, all that, and everything." And now they're 2-0, and he's riding this high, and he's out there saying that that Cam Ward is making stupid throws. I hate to root for either of these teams, but I kind of really, really hope that Cam Ward goes off in this game versus the Titans.
Yeah,
I know this is the key. I want it to be an Anthony Richardson type performance where he's like 50% passing, but he has three miracle throws that end up killing the Colts. But it doesn't. But it doesn't really look like sustainable. Something that's going to win lots of games for him.
It was literally the exact point I was going to make. If anybody should know what it looks like when a quarterback does something that is like super physically impressive, but maybe dumb and not a good decision or not a good throw, it should be somebody that plays for the Colts,
right?
Or somebody that's played with Anthony Richardson over the last couple of years. So that part of it at least made sense and tracks. But
Cam Ward right now is completing 50% of his passes. so far, I'm not crushing him at all. It's very early on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is a guy that he's a lot more polished than Anthony Richardson. So I don't even want to put him in that same boat as Anthony Richardson. But, like, okay, you can make plays out of structure and everything, but can you learn to play within structure and be efficient? And the scary thing about that with rookie quarterbacks is that first year before teams really get a beat on them, sometimes it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They just – those circus throws help them more than – some of their inconsistencies hurt them in their rookie year before you really get a good feel for what they're strong and weak at.
Yeah, it's just rough. I didn't project that the offense with the best AFC South offense would be the one with Daniel Jones leading it, and that the one with the best run offense would be.
You think
The Jaguars.
Well, look, you think it's hard for you? Do you know how hard it is? Look, I hate preening. I hate it when people preen. And yet, I feel like I'm the only guy that's been saying, watch out for Daniel Jones with the Colts.
Yeah.
All off season long. And people gave me side eye emojis. Yeah, they rolled their eyes. They kind of scoffed. Scoffed. I am the poor, the tattered, the scoffed at.
Yeah.
So I'm going to preen a little bit. I told you so. I told you all. Well, you know, watch out for Daniel Jones with the Colts.
Well, I don't like it. And I wish you were wrong. And I hate that you were right.
I'm a preening SOB.
Coming up next on Payne and Pendergast. If the Astros are going to make a run, this is what it has to look like. That's next on Payne and Pendergast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.